You're listening to the Stone Tapes on Siren 107.3 FM with Sam Stone and friends.
And that was Sparks. This town ain't big enough for the both of us.
Or all three of us.
Or all three of us, indeed.
Or all five of us.
Welcome to the Stone Tapes. I'm Sam Stone. And we've got a great show lined up again for you today. We will be speaking very soon to our LA correspondent, Joshua Lou Friedman. We'll also be chatting to Robin Pearce over in sunny Wales. Maybe it's sunny
or
today,
misty,
maybe it's rainy
or misty.
Who knows?
Welsh.
It's certainly very Welsh. And so we'll
Is
be
that
talking
Welsh?
To them.
Was that a Welsh accent?
It's very Welsh. It's now.
It's lovely, isn't it?
It's very lovely. No, you see, that wasn't Welsh at all. I can do that very well. And also in the studio, we've got David J. Howe, of course,
Hello.
And you've heard already, and Patricia H. Ash.
Hello.
And while we're talking to you, Patricia, we'll come over to your little corner here.
What does the H stand for?
What does the
Harville,
H?
Harville, actually.
Harville.
Oh. Harville.
It's horrible this time, is it?
It's horrible.
No, it's not. It's Harville.
Oh, Harville.
Harville.
It's my mother's maiden name.
Oh.
So now it's my middle name.
That's kind of cute. I like Harville.
That's nice.
That's really cute. If you were going to be a writer, Patricia, and you were going to, get anything published, Harville Ash sounds quite nice, actually.
I think so, too.
You've got a pen name there, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It could be your pen name.
I could do his. I feel like Harville Ash would be a historical fiction sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that would work really well.
So when I write some historical fiction.
Or hysterical fiction.
Maybe we can persuade you to do that at some point.
I may have been working on a series.
Oh, sounds good. Sounds very intriguing.
Need some work.
Very, very intriguing. Patricia, what have you been reading this week?
Right. This week, month, year, whatever. I've been reading Glenraven by Marion Zimmel by some people who I can't pronounce, apparently, even though I've pronounced them 100 zillion times before. So, Glenraven by Marion Zimmer Bradley and Holly Lyle. And it was awesome, is what I'm going to say about it. So you probably want a little bit of a blurb about what it was about. So, a woman called J.J. Binnington is the main character, and her third marriage has just fallen apart. So she really needs to get out of her small town in North Carolina. She needs to go and travel and do something. So she walks into a bookstore and finds a guidebook for a country she has never heard of. It's called Glenraven. That would be where we get the title for the book. So she decides that she's going to go to this tiny little country in Europe called Glenraven, and she brings her best friend, Sophie Curtis, whose life has also kind of sucked lately. She's super depressed. She's lost her child. Like, not misplaced her. She died. So she's not in a good place. JJ's not in a good place. So they go to another place. So, of course, the book is a magical artifact, and those two, Sophie and JJ, are the chosen heroes to save this medieval fantasy kingdom, Glenraven, from this horrible sorceress who's pretty much just killing everybody and stealing everybody's magical skill and that sort of thing, just so she can live forever and rule something which will apparently eventually be empty.
Very strange.
Yeah, her motivations. Who could understand the power mad? Anyway, it's got a lot of fun, strange creatures. The world of the little kingdom of Glenraven is very interesting. You think at first it's just this little small thing, but there's like layers underneath it. There's a whole underground city that's like a labyrinth with underground stars and flowers. It's gorgeous. And then there are things that are like talking badgers.
Wow.
There's this whole fantastic history of this place, Glenraven. And the best part of this book is when Sophie and JJ go to the kingdom and they're tourists. They're acting like tourists. They're thinking like tourists. They don't know that they're supposed to be the heroes. That bit's really interesting. The contrast between our world and Glenraven, which is essentially medieval with all of the poor hygiene standards and the superstitions and all that goes with that. So that's a really interesting contrast, and what ends up happening with JJ and Sophie there. And, of course, they save the day, you know. And it's a really interesting book, and I really liked it a lot.
So it's good world building.
Yes, very good world building.
Sounds it.
Yeah, fantastic.
Sounds a very full world.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So what mark would you give this if you couldn't guess?
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
Eight out of 10 for Glenraven.
That's fantastic.
And so that was Glenraven by Marion Zimmer Bradley. Is that right?
Yep. And Holly Lyle.
Lisle.
It's probably Lyle.
We think it's Lyle.
If it's not, I apologize.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, champ.
Hey, you talked to Mark lately?
I haven't really talked to him, but he looks pretty down.
He looks pretty down. Yeah, well, maybe we should cheer him up then.
What do you suppose we should do?
Well, does he like butter tarts?
I was lying on the grass a Sunday morning of last week, indulging in my self-defeat. My mind was thugged on lacy bugs, all twisted wrong beat. Uncomfortable on 3 feet deep. Now the fuzz is there from not being there on a confusing morning week. Impair my tribal lunar speak. And of course you can't become if you only say what you would have done.
Keep me first and on my feet. If you steal my sunshine.
Look at her. Wow. Look at her.
I know.
God, I've never seen Sharon look so bad before.
I did once before, but this is pretty bad.
Yeah, what do you think she got up to last night? Sharon! I love you!
I'm sliding on the bench, sliding apart across the street. L-A-T-E-R that week. My sticky paws were in the making straws out of big, fat, slurpy treats.
Sunshine, or rather, steal my sunshine.
Yeah. Whatever he's taking, it's gone. Her sticky buns and whatever it is.
Some of those lyrics.
Some, yes.
Couldn't quite make some of them out.
Fantastic.
What did you think of that one, Patricia?
I couldn't make out the lyrics either.
Oh, Alex has brought them up on screen.
We could Google them, though, and that works really...
There's no sticky buns in sight, but I heard... Oh, yeah, my sticky paws were
There's
in.
There's a slurpee.
Oh, yeah.
We're making straws... out of big fat slurpy treats. Of course, they were.
Here we are deciphering this ancient text.
Anyway, yes.
Well, I believe we've got on the phone the lovely Raven Dane, who is the author of The Legacy of the Dark Kind and this wonderful Cyrus Darian steampunk series.
I absolutely love those.
Well, say hello to Raven.
Hi.
Hello, Raven.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hope show's with you. Enjoying the party. It sounds so much fun.
Oh, yes, we wish you were here too. How are you today?
Fine. I've got sunshine down this end.
Have you? There's sunshine.
I did.
No, you've definitely stolen it. You've stolen it.
I have. totally guilty as charged.
We had a little bit today in Lincolnshire, but it didn't last very long. It was always very cold. Raven, you've had quite a long career now as a professional writer. When did you start?
Oh, gosh. I've been writing as a journalist since 1973. That's how long I've been writing. Author, over 10 years, I think, now.
I think it must be. I think it must be that long. And so what attracted you to, you know, where did you get the original idea for writing about your wonderful vampire character, Jas, in Legacy of the Dark Kind?
Oh, I wish I knew. It's almost like channeling, Sam. It's very strange, you know. The characters just sort of come into my mind fully fledged with their backstory and everything, and they sort of keep prodding me in the back till I tell their story. You know, it's a very weird sensation, but that's how it comes.
And The Legacy, of course, is a very different vampire series. I don't know if you've ever read it, Patricia. No, you said you like the Cyrus Darian books.
Oh, yes, I do.
And they are awesome, aren't they? Did you know there's a new one coming out soon?
Yay!
Raven, tell us what the third one is called.
Well, we haven't got No, we haven't fixed a name yet, but it's going to have to, it's, it does involve a Cyrus Darian and a dragon.
Ah.
A really, really kick-ass dragon that makes Smaug look like a gecko, you know.
and actually, Telos Publishing, for, you heard it here first, have acquired the rights to all three of the books now, and they're going to be reissuing them with lovely new covers. And certainly did the third book as well, so I'm very excited about that as being part of that as well. So going back to jazz, I've gone off the subject there, because your vampires were a very, very different type of vampire, weren't they? They weren't the sort of romantic...
No.
Tell me a little bit about what the philosophy behind their world was. What was your thinking? Because I think it's a really fascinating world.
Well, I decided that my vampires weren't human or ever had been human. They weren't undead. They weren't supernatural. Basically, they're a different species that's higher up the food chain than humans, and they've been here a long, long time. There was a time when vampire kings ruled vast kingdoms, and anyone who was a citizen of those or subject of those kingdoms were very safe and very protected. They had vampire armies to protect their citizens. But when Christianity started spreading across Eurasia and Europe, they got pushed back. By the time we get to the first book, Blood Tears, there's only one isolated prince in a tiny Balkan kingdom left, and the rest are sort of scattered amongst humanity in hiding. But they've had a sort of long and quite an interesting career with past with human beings, you know. So I wanted them to be separate. I wanted them to have their own emotions or lack of emotions. I didn't want them to be angst-ridden, sparkly teenagers.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they still drink blood, presumably, Raven?
Yeah, they're only males, though. They only go for the men.
They only drink male blood?
Yeah. The females are too useful for breeding, so...
Ah, so they breed as well?
So no, they don't. No, humans do, yeah.
Oh, they breeding the humans, as in they are the humans are their cattle.
Ah,
they're cattle, basically. They're either servants or prey. They have no interest in them at all, romantically or any other idea. It would be bestiality to them to have anything more intimate than...
You could completely understand that, couldn't you, if it was a completely different species. What do you think of that, Patricia, never having read these books? Are you intrigued now?
Sounds fascinating.
I think it really does, and I mean, hearing you talk about it, and I don't know whether we've had conversations about this, although I have read the books, as you know.
I don't think we have, actually.
We've never had a conversation about them before and about what you were thinking, but I can totally see all of that in them, and they are fantastic books. Very, very different. I would definitely not class them as anything like anywhere near horror romance. Anyone who's thinking these are vampires like that, they are not. They are fierce vampires. They are exciting stories.
And it sounds like there's a kind of like a strong historical content and context to them as
well. Very much so.
Because that was the other book that you did, Raven, I think. Was that the last book that came out, Death Start Wings? So tell us a bit about Death Start Wings.
Well, that's probably my most bonkers book, really, in some ways. basically, it's alternative history / supernatural. I revised the whole series of events leading up to 1066 and the Battle of Hastings. I've done it from a very, very biased point of view, being a pagan. So there's a very different ending, without giving any different... It's quite dark and visceral, very visceral.
Yes.
So Harold may die, or he may not. Not to
let's just say William the Conqueror came off worse, shall we say that?
Ah, dearie me.
I'm not a fan of the Normans.
So this week, tomorrow, we're heading off, all of us, to Sci-Fi Weekend.
So where are you going, Raven? Yes, tomorrow.
Tomorrow I'm going to the very exciting SF Weekender in Wales.
All right. So tell us a bit about that. What's that all about?
What will you be doing there?
I'll be doing some signings and some panels and generally meeting some of the most fun people on the planet and having a good time with everybody else, having a great time.
Yeah, fantastic. Because it's very much a kind of like a party by the sea, isn't it?
Very much so, yes. A celebration of all things wonderfully geeky and nerdy and SF. And it's just wonderful. And there's fabulous people in cosplay and interesting people to meet, lovely stalls, lots of entertainment, music, everything and everything anyone could possibly want.
And there's films all weekend, I think.
Films, and... yeah, and debates and all sorts of things. Fabulous, you know.
All sorts of stuff, yeah. I think it's going to be tremendous. And this happens every year, basically, around this time. Yeah. At the moment, it's based in North Wales, isn't it? So
yes, it's a lovely spot actually, Pwelly. It's very, very the cabins and things are fabulous. There's plenty to do, food, everything anyone could possibly want on one site.
Just kind of entertainment weekend.
Yes, and the beautiful sparkling seaside beside it as well. Mm. It's a great pleasure to go there.
It really is. So before we let you go, tell us what you've been working on recently.
Endless short story commissions. I've been very, very privileged at this stage of my career that I don't have to sort of send stuff out. People want stuff from me now, so it's a good, you know, it's a good feeling. There's lots of commissions coming in, all horror.
So lots of short stories and
lots of horror short stories. Fantastic. Yes, it's sort of almost permanent. I'd love to get on with a novel. I really would. I've got a Victorian ghost story pretty much written. I've got a Cyrus Darien 4 on the way. I've got a sort of high fantasy sci-fi thing on the boil as well. And I just haven't got time to get on with them, which is a good thing and a bad thing.
Oh, it's nice to be wanted.
It is lovely to be wanted, yeah. But deadlines are always
moving. Change from me on a wanted poster for bad behaviour. Makes a change, you know. Getting too old for that now.
Well, thank you so much, Raven Dane. Brilliant talking to you. And we will catch up with you again at the Sci-Fi Weekender very soon.
Thank you very much. And keep on enjoying the party.
Thank you.
You're looking through me like you never knew me. Transparent vision is all you see. Well, it's the same place, but with a new face. I needed some space for a new You never leave me, but you're not with me. Transparent feelings are all you see. You're so familiar, but yet a stranger. Apparent danger, stormy seas. Leaving me drowning in the expectation. Leaving me dying in the revelation. Turning the page of a false liaison here. You struck me like a sudden blast of fresh air. Like a sixth sense, calming down the sea. Sight and the sound makes me feel like the taste of the earth and the sense of you, and smell of the static built into your sixth sense. Leaving me dying in the revelation. of a false liaison here. You struck me like a sudden blast of fresh air, like a sixth sense coming down the sea. Silence. Sense of you and smell of the static built into your sixth sense. Ooh. Sixth sense. Ooh. Your sixth sense.
That was a lovely song, and that's Sixth Sense by Risa Hall.
The Midweek Drive on Siren FM 107.3.
Are you there? Are you there? Are you there?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
This is who we are.
Coffee House Hermits from Lincoln, England. We're all travellers in space and time.
With strange characters.
And it's the one with the nose.
I absolutely love her.
And surprises galore.
A free concert. Think of it as being sung to by Elvis Presley.
Unusual discussion topics.
Why would you want to give every child a water pistol? It was a bit like choosing between kittens and babies.
That will make your ribs...
Really done your homework.
That's what we call show business.
Join the Midweek Drive team every Wednesday from 5 till 7 on Siren FM 107.3.
Hello, we're back again and we've got on the phone our LA correspondent, Joshua Lou Friedman. Hi, Josh.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hello, oh, hi, Josh.
Yay.
Hi.
Yay, it's great to have you back on the show. We've not had you on for quite a while. We've missed you.
I've been busy shooting. I've been a horrible correspondent, but I'm back with a vengeance.
Oh, great. Well, we want to hear all about what's happening in LA at the moment. Have you got any gossip for us?
Oh, gossip? Yeah. Good for horror fans. Rick Finkelstein, a friend of mine, is a producer. He's finally going to production on Death House. This is a dream project. I was actually attached to it for a while, but my director moved on from it. And my other friend is still producing it. And Death House is the first time we've got... it's like a Expendables of horror figures. So they've had, you've got Robert Englund is involved. The late Gunnar Hansen was involved, but unfortunately, Leatherface, but he's passed on.
Oh, yes, of course.
Tony Todd, Candyman, is in it.
Wow.
And Kane Hodder, Jason.
that's a big lineup.
Danny Trejo. The list is endless. And speaking of Danny Trejo, I recently did a very secret project for the heavy metal band Slayer, who are very huge, and it has horror elements and horror stars, and our video is now available as of this morning.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I haven't even posted it yet, but it is available now. You can just Google Slayer, You Against You, and you will see a very awesome kick-ass video with lots of fun, gruesome effects.
Oh, we're going to check that out
a few famous faces.
So that's you,
yeah,
you against you.
You against you.
Right.
Slayer, so you can see it right now.
Brilliant.
That's fantastic.
I haven't even seen the finished cut yet, so I'm dying. I'm out and about, and I wanted to be on, make time for the show. I can't wait to get home and see it myself.
That sounds awesome.
The finished product. Yeah.
Now, Josh, I want to talk
about... over there on your side of the pond.
Oh, pretty good over here, but I am very concerned about what's happening in the States at the moment, and I'm going to go down the politics route now. What on earth?
Here we go.
What is this with Trump? Oh, my God. Am I tempting you to swear? Remember the language.
I'll be careful with the language. I'll just keep it simple. I mean, one of those, I forget which commentator said it the best, but... You know, Trump is like one of those back growths. A year ago, it seemed harmless, but now it's like he's gotten too big to ignore. Mm. That's like of the situation. It's a bit of a joke. And I think that's all I'm prepared to say on the situation.
Yeah, I understand. Very diplomatic.
So Josh...
there are people listening, but that being said, no, I'm not thrilled with that prospect.
No.
That particular name in the presidency, as far as I can say.
So yeah. Another piece of news that came out, I think this morning or yesterday, was it, Joshua? Another Indiana Jones film.
Indiana Jones 5 was yesterday morning. They announced that both the summer of 2019, wow. Spielberg and Ford are back. Well, you know, they got something to make up for at least. And, the last outing, they definitely owe us a better indie. It's going to be the last one. They owe us a better send off. And Harrison Ford has proven with what he's done with the Han Solo character that he's still got it.
So yeah,
my hopes are high. My hopes are high.
Absolutely.
Should be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
This will be good. Can you tempt us with a lovely cocktail this month?
I can, because tomorrow is St. Paddy's Day. I have to obviously give you a green concoction.
Oh, that sounds good.
I will give you, this one's a bit much, but I think you can handle if you go out, you'll be rewarded if you go out and find the right ingredients. But I'm going to give you the recipe for a key lime pie martini.
Key lime pie,
which
martini,
will taste
wow.
exactly like a slice of key lime pie. It's you want to start with equal parts vanilla Stoli, vanilla flavored vodka, and Midori rum, and that's your base alcohol, and you chill that equal parts. It's did I say more Midori rum? I meant Malibu rum. Sorry.
Oh, Malibu rum.
Then
oh,
you
nice.
Malibu rum and vanilla vodka as your base. Then you add it. Those are equal parts. And then what you add to it is Midori, the liqueur, the green liqueur.
Yeah.
That'll give you its consistency. Obviously, a nice squirt of lime juice, Rose's lime juice. Add a dash of pineapple juice and a little bit of half and half cream. Shake it up and stir it in, pour it into a martini glass. And for a wonderful garnish, you take some of the half and half cream in a blender, a dash of it in a blender, a dash of that pineapple juice and a packet of sugar, and whip it into a nice, not quite whipped cream, but a puree cream.
All right, so it's like a pineapple puree sweet cream.
Exactly, and then you pour it across the top, you float it across the top of the key lime martini you have, and that gives you the meringue in the pie. And it's a slice of pie in a martini glass.
Oh,
key
wow.
lime pie, it's green. Happy St. Paddy's Day, folks.
Which I will just add is today for this show. So. But yes, Josh, I think you're going to have to make that for me at some point when I see you, because that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
It really
it
does.
It is very good.
David,
very popular with
Very, very popular in the house, I'm sure, as well.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. So I'll make that for you next time I'm out.
Okay.
Brilliant.
So what's coming up for you next, Josh? Is anything you can talk about, or is it all as usual with you, top
seven? I guess I can talk a little bit about it. Let's just say that as of yesterday, I'm officially on the next project from Epic Pictures. We're doing a huge horror film. You know, I did Big Ass Spider with them.
Yep.
Remember Big Ass Spider?
Mm-hmm.
And then Tales of Halloween last year?
Yes.
Well, now they're going even bigger. And... I can't really talk about it much, but it is huge, major effect, hundreds of visual effects and creatures and monsters. And the more I'm allowed to talk about it in the months to come,
it's
really a great project to be attached to.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah, lots of creatures.
Well, we'll be looking out for that, Josh, I think.
Absolutely.
Yes, I'm very excited about this one.
Thank you so much, Joshua Lee Friedman.
Thanks, Josh.
Great.
No worries. Thank you for having me back on the show. It's been too long.
And we're back again. This time, we're in sunny... Are we in sunny Wales at the moment? Robin Pearce.
Hi,
how Robin.
Are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you? I keep
very
hoping
well,
it's sunny over there. Is it sunny?
You know, strangely enough, there's not a cloud in the sky. It hasn't been for the past 3 days.
Yay!
Wow.
Yay, I'm really pleased about that since we're heading off your way tomorrow.
Well, I'm willing the sunshine to carry on until at least Sunday so we can have a really good weekend.
That would be fantastic.
If you could
it?
Just arrange that, Robin, that would be great.
I'll make a call, David.
Yeah. I mean, you are officially in charge of that corner of North Wales, so
So Robin, what have you got for us today? You're going to review.
Well, I've been to see a film called The Forest. The trailer would lead one to suspect it's along the same lines as, say, perhaps Evil Dead, or Cabin Fever, or maybe even Friday the 13th.
No.
Right, so it's kind of teenagers, and this is the trailer.
This is the trailer.
Teenagers, kind of death, screaming, running about, chasing.
That's right, trees.
Yeah, forest.
Yeah,
summer camps.
It's a convoluted film that tries too hard for its own good. And it ends up being, unfortunately, a confused mess.
Oh, dear.
Now, before we go any further, I've got to tell you about the locale of this particular film. There's a place in Japan. It lies at Mount Fuji's northwest base. It's called the Aokigahara Forest. Okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is a real place. It's also known as the Suicide Forest or the Sea of Trees.
Right.
Now, it contains rocky, icy caverns and all this kind of stuff. But the forest itself is so dense, it shuts out all but the natural sounds of the forest itself. Now, it has a historic association with ghosts, and it's a notoriously common suicide site.
Right.
54 took place there in 2010 alone. For this reason, a sign at the head of the main trail urges suicide visitors to think of their families and contact a suicide prevention organisation.
Right.
Normally you get drop no litter. Here you get don't kill yourself.
Don't kill yourself.
Call somebody. Think of the children. Anyway, so the film itself is set in and around the Aokigahara Forest. I'm not sure of that pronunciation. That's what it would sound like if you were in Wales.
Right.
So an American woman named Sarah Price, played by Natalie Dormer, receives a phone call from the Japanese police telling her that they think that her troubled, problematic, emotionally disturbed twin sister is dead because she was seen going into the Aokigahara Forest.
Right.
So in Japan, all you've got to do to be presumed dead and your folks notified is wander into a forest.
Brilliant.
Right, so despite the concerns of her loved ones, she journeys to Japan and arrives at the motel where her sister was staying and meets a reporter, tells him about her parents' death in a drunk driving accident, so she herself is pretty troubled as well.
Mm.
Except they didn't die in a motor accident, it was a murder-suicide initiated by her father.
Right.
So you're about 20 minutes in, and you're already thinking, what?
Yeah.
That's not good.
Mm.
Anyway, they go into the forest, having engaged a park guide, but the park guide is already telling this girl that, you know, well, she's more likely to kill herself because, you know, she's here.
And that's what they do.
Yeah. So deep in the woods, they discover a tent that was her sister's. Nightfall approaches. The guy who's convinced that she's dead suggests they leave a note for the sister, who he thinks is dead, and leaves. And that's when everything goes basically tail up. It's a mixture then of a ghost story. There are lots of hallucinations. We're never sure what is and what isn't. And by the time a convoluted twist ending comes into play, we really couldn't care less.
Yeah.
I was sitting there, and I love horror films, and I want to see something new, something original, or a fresh take on something. But I was sitting there thinking, all I want is the end credits.
Yeah. Have you seen a film called Shrooms, Robin?
Shrooms?
An Irish film.
Absolutely, yes, I have.
Because that kind of sounds like it echoes a little bit with this, because that's about a group of kids who end up...
Much better.
Yeah, because that goes off into hallucinations and you're never quite sure what's real and what's not. And
I did a little bit of work with Shrooms, actually, because back in the day, I worked for a magazine called Gore Zone, which isn't around anymore.
Yes, yes.
And I did some media interviews for Shrooms with one of the stars, Lindsay Horn, as I recall, who now plays in a well-named all-girl rock band out there in America called Horn Solo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
Awesome. Do you know who they are?
No, but I love their name.
It's amazing.
It's great. The other film that came to mind when you were discussing that, Robin, was Blair Witch. Again, you know, tent in woods and...
The charm and cheapness of Blair Witch, because somehow or other, and I found this out while trying to research what I was going to tell you, was... It cost $10 million.
Well, to make this the forest?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
you wonder where that money went.
Hotels?
Yeah.
And I suppose that's like a couple of hours worth of your life that you'll never get back now you've seen it and didn't like it.
93 minutes that I wasted.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh,
that, that's bad if you feel that about
it. Does it have any redeeming features, Robin? Has it got a good soundtrack or are there any particularly good effects?
It's instantly forgettable on every... It's not only forgettable, but it's derived from other films. You walk away thinking, this should be original, but I feel I've seen it in bits and pieces of other films over the years.
So last year
I saw It Follows.
I was just going to say,
new and fresh.
I was just going to say, so it's not a patch on things like It Follows or The Babadook or you know those kinds of films. You've got like originality and a kind of a verve to them.
That's right. That's right. This doesn't.
Although I didn't like The Babadook.
You weren't that keen on The Babadook, but I did quite like The Babadook.
That was very annoying.
But It Follows was awesome. I loved It Follows. We've seen that a couple of times.
Oh, that was very good. That was very good.
Fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah, and what a brilliant soundtrack as well. I loved the music in it. Yes. Oh, that's such a shame. So what would you be giving a forest? That was the track by The Cure that we played in. We thought that was suitable.
You know, that link made more sense than 93 minutes of
Oh, bless
you. I like it. So, what are you going to give it out of 10 then, Robin?
Let's give it a pitiful 2.
Oh.
Well, that's bad.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me. Saying, get back together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room. I realized it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you. Yesterday, you'd forgiven me. But it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry. Hold it, now I want to hoodwink. Does it make you stop, think? You'll think you're looking at Aquaman. I summon fish to the dish, although I like the shallot Swiss. I like the sushi, cause it's never touched a frying pan. Hot like wasabi when I bust rhymes. Speak like Leanne rhymes, because I'm all about value. Bird campers got the mad hits. You try to match wits, you try to hold me, but I bust through. Gonna make a break and take a pick. I like a sink and ache and shake. I like vanilla, it's the finest of the flavors. Gonna see the show, cause then you'll know the vertigo is gonna go, cause it's so dangerous. You'll have to sign a waiver. Can I help it if I think you're funny when you're mad? Trying hard not to smile, though I feel bad. I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral. Can't understand what I mean, well, you soon will. I have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve. I have a history of taking off my shirt. It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Threw your arms in the air and said you're crazy. 5 days since you tackled me. I still got the red burns on both my knees. It's been 3 days since the afternoon. You realize it's not my fault, but I'm only too soon. Yesterday, you'd forgiven me. And now I'll sit back and wait till you say you're sorry. Chinese chicken, you have a drumstick and your brain stops sticking. Watching X-Files with no lights on, with all our maisons. I hope the smoking man's in this one like Harrison Ford. I'm getting frantic, like Sting and Pantrick. Like Snickers guaranteed to satisfy. Like Kurosawa, I make mad films. Okay, I don't make films, but if I did, they'd have a samurai. Gonna get a set of better gloves, gonna find the kind with tiny dumps. So my irons are always flying off the backswing. Gonna get into my Sailor Moon, cause like
Boom, man, I made babes that make me think the wrong thing. How can I help it if I think you're funny when you're mad? Trying hard not to smile, though I feel bad. I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral. Can't understand what I mean, but you soon will. I have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve. I have a history of losing my shirt. It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Dropped your eyes to the sides and said I'm sorry. 5 days since I laughed at you and said you just did just what I thought you were gonna do. 3 days since the living room, we realized we're both to blame, but what did we do? Yesterday, you just smiled at me, cause it'll still be 2 days till we say we're sorry. It'll still be 2 days till we say we're sorry. It'll still be 2 days till we say we're sorry.
That was Bare Naked Ladies, 1 week. And Robin, we're, you're still with us. And I would just like to say, before we get off completely off your review this yeah. week, when you said to me the trailer sort of struck of Evil Dead and Cabin Fever and Friday 13th, I immediately thought, ugh, I don't think I'd like that because I don't like any. I don't really like any of those films.
We will get those films on as film of the month at some point, so you can.
Oh, awesome! I will second that motion.
No, because if you do that, then I have to sit and watch them again. Yeah. No,
tell everyone how awful they are.
I really would have a good time saying how awful they were, though. I have to say. So we're going to go over to David's now.
Hello.
David's film of the month.
Hello, yes indeed. Welcome to David's Film of the Month. Now, we were going to do The Evil Dead for this
Sam
month.
Sam said
but,
no.
But Sam said no. So instead, we've gone for something completely different, and we've gone for a fantastic 1983 film called Krull. So do you remember Krull, Robin?
I do.
And
I do.
Patricia, you've managed to see Krull.
I have.
We have. And Sam, you saw it too. So Krull is a great film. To be honest with you, I'm not quite sure what to make of it. It's directed by Peter Yates, written by someone called Stanford Sherman, it says here, which is great. And it stars Ken Marshall, Lisette Anthony, I think, is it her first major role? I think, yes, it's her first major role. Freddie Jones, always good fun. Francesca Annis.
It's got Liam Neeson in it too.
Liam Neeson. It's got Bernard Breslau in it. It's got a fantastic cast. So it's a bit of a mix. It's all set on the planet of Krull. So I must admit, I thought for a long time that Krull was like the name of the warrior, like Conan or something like that. But no, it's the planet is called Krull. And the basic idea here is that the planet is invaded by this kind of thing that looks like a floating head. Or it's a big kind of black citadel thing. Oh, and yeah. And again, floating heads immediately made me think of Zardos.
Yes.
With this citadel thing that floats around and brings these monsters and slayers to this planet. In this great big spaceship, which is called the Black Fortress. This kind of alien beast thing decides that he wants Princess Lyssa, who's...
Lysette Antony.
to be his wife. So he kind of goes off with her. Meantime, that the Prince Colwyn... is kind of like defeated, I suppose. He's then sort of found by this character called Ynir, great one. And then it ends up kind of a bit of a quest film in that the prince goes on this quest and meets up with a Cyclops, who's Bernard Breslau, and all of these other characters. Made me think a little bit of Labyrinth, of all things.
A little bit.
Of these kind of these.
With a bit of Star Wars, kind of.
With a bit of Star Wars.
The quest,
yeah,
thing,
absolutely.
And the mentor character, and they reminded me a lot of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
They kind of go through a swamp, and there's attacks in a swamp, which made me think of the Swamp of Despair, of course, from.
Right.
A stench, Swamp of Stench.
The Bog of Eternal Stench,
that's it. And then there's a lovely, great big sequence in a great big spider's web where Francesca Granis is the widow of the web, in the middle of the web with these great CGI spiders, not CGI, animated kind of spider things they've got there, and it kind of ends up, of course, that the spaceship is defeated and they all end up trapped in there and they kind of have to try and escape and they're all in these tunnels inside it, and I found there that the set design seem to be very redolent of Alien, of all things. It's kind of quite organic in its sort of shapes and its smoothness and almost ribs around the set.
A little bit like Lex in that way as well. Yeah. You can see all these influences later on.
This is what I'm getting at. There's stuff that kind of comes before it that it seems to be echoing and stuff that seems to have influenced afterwards. And, of course, at the end of it all, Colman and Lisa get together And they end up basically obviously getting married and living happily ever after. But along the way, there's excitement and fights. Another influence, it would have been, if this was 83, it would have been an influence. Something that influenced this was Flash Gordon, the old Sando Flash Gordon, because the alien creatures, when they're killed, they kind of screech in a very kind of weird way, and they've got sort of like things in their heads which run off.
It looks
like
a bit like a Dalek, actually.
Worm things or something inside their heads. So it's called Krull. It is available quite easily to watch online if you so wish, but it's probably worth getting a decent copy because there's so much detail in it, I think, and there's so much richness in it. Some bits of it are a little bit trippy. It's kind of almost reflecting some of the old Roger Corman, Mask of the Red Death and Poe films, which always seem to have a trippy sequence in with a drug hallucination thing, and particularly where Lissa is kind of trapped by the beast at the end, who's this great big raging beast thing that you partially see and don't quite understand what this creature is that's somehow this 300-foot beast wants to mate with a human woman. It's all very strange. I did actually quite enjoy it. Krull. I mean, what were your thoughts, Patricia?
I liked it. First of all, I thought that the soundtrack was absolutely brilliant. That was my first thought about the movie. The opening credits roll, and I'm like, wow. This is really beautiful music. I love it.
It's James Horner, I think, is the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then apparently on Krull, the power of love is fireballs.
Yes.
Which is really cool. I thought that was really interesting because normally the power of love is just a metaphor. Yeah. But here it is actually fireballs.
Actual fireballs.
Yeah. Yes.
The thing I didn't like about it was, and David will laugh when I say this, is the comedic character. Was he called David Batley?
Or David Batley, I think, yeah.
Ergo the Magnificent?
Ergo the Magnificent. I hated him. I felt he was too clownish, too pantomimey for a movie.
At the beginning, yeah, a bit.
Yeah.
But then when he meets the little boy, Titch, and then later rescues him by turning into a tiger, and that sort
better.
Of thing, I thought he improved.
Yeah.
But when he was introduced,
I thought it was a weak character.
What do you think, Robin?
Well, you said it best. It's all very strange. I hated the shape-shifting character and his obsession with gooseberry pies. I mean, I'd heard enough of that.
Yes,
but the saving grace for me, I wasn't comfortable with the mix of sci-fi and sword and sorcery, but I loved the Cyclops character, and I loved the tragedy of his character.
Yes,
being able to see into the future and know the date and time of his own death.
Yes,
I thought that was a really good idea.
It had some brilliant elements, but I think we're now going to have to cut it short, guys. So thanks very much to David J. Howe, Patricia Josh, Robin Pierce, Joshua Lou Friedman, and Raven Dane, our special guest, and of course to our producer, Alex Lynchuk. We'll see you again.